So, like I said, Apostle was, he just asked me if I would share this morning. And I was sharing with Paul and Lynn before service. I said, I'm just at this place. This song talked about it too. It talked about the mundane, you know, the grace is there in the mundane. And I was talking to them right before service, not knowing Joel was going to do this song, the worship team was going to do this song. And I was just telling, they asked me how my week was. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to tell you, I've never stayed in one job, you know. I teach online, nursing students. I've been in this job 10 and a half years. I've never been in a job that long in my life because I get too bored and then I have to go find something else exciting to do. It's killing me. Every Monday, I'm just like, oh my gosh, because it's the same classes, it's the same speech. I've said these things so much that my husband could teach my class for me. Verbatim, he could tell them what I say. That's how bored I am with this. And I just keep asking the Lord to get me out of this, release me, do something, let me do something. And it's not happening. So I thought, well, we got to do something today that we haven't talked about. At least not that I think we've talked about. I don't think we've used this verse in this way before, but it's really good. And so I'm gonna hopefully give you something new that you haven't heard before, okay? So we're gonna be in Ephesians 4, verse 29. And before we do that, I just want to remind you. I hope you got you've been reading your cards, holding on to your cards. If not, there's more back there. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, the indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? Okay. Awesome. So that is awesome. If you'd pull up, this is Ephesians 4, 29. Somebody read that? It's very short. Yep, just speak it out, Mike.
Let no corrupt word proceed that it may impart grace to the
hearers. Oh my gosh. This verse is all about release and favor. You have the ability to release favor on people. Have you ever thought about that? Anybody? But it's there in the print. We're going to talk about it. I want to start first by doing what I usually do, and that's I want to give you some Greek words. So I just want to go through this verse and give you what the Greek, what the original, when they originally wrote it, because sometimes in translation we lose pieces. Right? King James is probably the closest that we get to the translation, which is why I use it all most of the time. But that's why I want you to see. I want you to catch those pieces that just by reading this. And there's a lot here if we just read this. But I want to add a little bit to it based on the Greek. So, corrupt. No, let no. Like no means none, zero, zip, nada, nothing, okay? Get that? Zilch. That's an easy one. Although we don't really. Do you remember what when Pastor Ryan was here, what he said? If you believe it, you do it. If you believe it, you do it. Or in this case, if you believe it, you don't do it. So if you believe in what we're going to talk about today, you won't be doing corrupt speech. Okay? You'll control your mouth. But this is no. So zip, zilch, nada, nothing. The corrupt means rotten, bad, worthless. And you're like, I don't really say rotten and corrupt and worthless things. Really? Really? Somebody raise their hand if you are the perfect person, never said anything rotten this week at all, nothing worthless, nothing unbecoming. Nothing that would discourage somebody. See, not one of us can really raise our hand. You're welcome. Yeah, we'll pray over you later. Okay. See, we talk and we don't even think about the words sometimes that we're using. But we, like I just said about my job, oh my gosh, it's so mundane, I can't do it, I just get bored. That's worthless talk. I just did it in front of you. It's worthless talk. It does no value to anybody. It sure doesn't help me, because if you're speaking it out, this is why the word says that we create from the fruit of our lips. Why? Because we're not only are we speaking it out ahead of time, but we're hearing it. And Al, as a teacher, or Danielle as a teacher, they'll tell you that if something's going to sink in, you have to hear it as well as see it, as well as do stuff. I mean, the more applications you have to that, the more it sinks in. Right? And so we run our mouths and we don't even think about, we're not definitely not thinking about this verse, and I'm hoping after today this is going to be coming to your mind in the weeks ahead, because it says no corrupt, rotten, worthless, good for nothing. Just think about the last, just take a minute, pause just a minute. Think about yesterday. What was something like worthless? Did you say something worthless? Or maybe Friday? And I would say even our thoughts. This is where Apostle's always talking about we need to take our thoughts captive. Because it is a place where yesterday in this conference that we were doing, we were supposed, it was very challenging for us because we were doing defense and we like to be offense people, okay? Not offensive, but offense. And so we had to do this conference on how to be take a defense position in spiritual warfare. And so we had to be very aware of our communication and the words that we are using. And Americans in particular, just having traveled different places in the world, Americans in particular are very loose with our mouths and our speech and what we say and how we say it and when we say it and who we say it to. We don't think so much. We're very, as a culture, we're very geared to self. And so we don't even think about the impact of what we're saying on somebody else and how they might receive it. Whether it's 100% rotten in our mind or 50% rotten, it doesn't matter. The other person might be receiving it. It could be 150% rotten to them. Are you getting it? Okay. So this word corrupt means rotten or worthless. Edifying. This means what it says, building up to encourage. And yet there's this added phrase in the Greek, which makes it very, very interesting. Building up, edifying means building up to encourage growth in Christ towards holiness. Do I need to say that again? Building up to encourage growth in Christ towards holiness. Now, think about your speech yesterday. Think about your speech on your communication on Friday and on Thursday and on Wednesday. You might have given encouraging speech and communication, but was it of such that it would encourage somebody towards Christ? Now, that doesn't mean that you need to put God in every single sentence. Heck, if somebody did that to me, I even like from here being a pastor position, if you put God in every sentence to me, I'm going to throw up and walk away. Okay? It's like, then we're going over into this religiosity thing. You have to be real with your speech. But there are ways to use this edifying way to use your speech so that you're going to encourage somebody even subconsciously, even though they might not even recognize that it's happening, but you're planting seeds in them that is going to draw them to you. And then eventually you're going to have an open door where you can talk to them outright about who God is in your life and your testimony and what he's doing. Okay? So the speech has to be that it will towards, it says towards Christ. It doesn't say get them there all at once. I love Mandy's testimonies because these people that she's running into at times, she's talking to every a little bit every time they walk in the door. Just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. That's what we're talking about. Towards Christ. You know, I got to dump the whole Roman road. This is how you get saved. This is how you get baptized. This is how you get discipled. This is how you get, you know, infilled, all in one setting. They're going to vomit and walk away. Okay? It's going to happen. Because they're going to think that you can't talk about anything else. And we need to engage people so that we're understanding who they are and where they're coming from and what their story is. That's important. So the next piece of this word minister, supply or furnish. This is where it's starting to get good when we get to this all. So that it may supply. What's the word supply? You need something? Go to the store, get it, hand it to who needs it. You've supplied them. You've furnished them. You go to the grocery store weekly, stock up your shelves. You're furnishing your house with food. You're supplying things to them. This word grace that we've talked about, it means undeserved favor, undeserved benefit. And then, and you could probably say, most of you could probably tell me that definition too. But again, there's one more phrase on this particular word grace that's used in the Greek that means that says, again, much like edifying, kindles them for Christ. Kindles them for Christ. Again, you're starting to light. You know when you kindle a fire? I'm not very good at it. I always end up having to call my husband. Okay. Can you light this fire? Because I just can't get it started. You need to kindle. You're just getting a little spark going. You're not dumping the whole basket on them at once. You're just lighting a little fire. You're planting a seed. So if we were going to read this, let no rotten, worthless communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to building up, encouraging growth in Christ towards holiness, that it may supply undeserved favor, benefit, kindle those people to Christ unto the hearers. Isn't that beautiful? Now, thing is, what are we really saying? We're really saying, Lord, the favor that you have put into me, this goes back to imparting, because remember, freely we've received, freely we give. And the Lord is actually telling you in this verse that you have the ability to impart favor onto somebody. You've received benefit from him. You have the ability to put that and to impart that benefit into somebody else. I think that's absolutely amazing. If you chew on it and you let it settle within you and you think about it, because even Christ, like in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and it's in other places in the New Testament too, but it literally says in Luke chapter 2, it says that Jesus, like our example, right? He grew in favor. It's the same word. God and man. So if Jesus was required to grow in favor, and he did grow in favor with God and man, then shouldn't we be doing the same? And shouldn't we, if we are growing in favor and we're supposed to be imparting things to people around us, what he's given to us, shouldn't we be in a place where we can impart that to somebody else? And the crazy thing is that it all starts with your mouth. That can be kind of scary. Because most of us, all of us at one point or another, we run our mouths when we shouldn't run our mouths. We say things we shouldn't say. Sometimes we mean it, sometimes we don't mean it. But it all does the same. It all causes harm. And instead of driving somebody or kindling them or moving them towards Christ and towards holiness, what it's doing is it's driving them the other direction. See, this thing with favor, we find it all the way through the Bible. We find it with Moses, and God is pouring out favor on the Hebrews. We find it with Saul and David, because Saul tells David early in the story, you know, I have found favor with you. We find it with Nehemiah and Esther when they're both working for kings, and they go to the kings that they are working for and they say, if we have your favor. Favor is a very important thing. Everybody wants favor. Everybody wants benefit. You tell me who doesn't want a benefit. You tell me who doesn't want that. In one of the translations, it uses the word reward. And that reward is not necessarily, don't just go to monetary, because it's much bigger than that. Even the first church, it says that they grew in favor. And because of the favor that was in the first church in the book of Acts, they said they added to their numbers daily, which is part of this, you know, kindling thing that's going on here. Because most people don't understand how God values them. Most people do not understand how God values them. Do you remember several weeks ago when I had shared that verse in Psalms? And it's very familiar. It's at Psalms 139. And most of the time we go to the part about where it says in your mama's womb, God created you. But I pointed you further down in that Psalms where it says God's thoughts for you are like the sand. And if you can't get your head around that one, you need to drive out to Empire. You need to stand in front of the sand dunes and just read that verse. His thoughts for you are like the sand. But most people out there don't understand. And so when we have this ability to pour benefit or to pour favor onto them, it starts to draw them, why is that important? Because eventually we're going to get them to the point. If we keep pouring out favor, we're going to get them to the point where they understand when they're standing in front of the sand dune how much God loves them, how much he thinks about them, how important they are. The book of James tells us that our tongue is uncontrolled. It's the most unruly thing in the body. That's my own paraphrase, okay? If we don't control it through the Holy Spirit, and we don't purposefully think about edifying people so that we can bring favor, it's like a ship without a rudder. It just goes wherever it wants to go. Out of control. Doing damage, whatever it wants to do. And guess what? Eventually a ship without a rudder is going to end up crashed into the rocks. And it's going to hurt the people on board. I'm just going to give you a couple stories about how some of this favor works, okay? Because I think we can do this in ways that's very down to earth, and you're planting seeds, And again, you're not running people over with a Mack truck saying God, 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 but you're dropping this into them. So, and some of you have heard this story, but this is one of the best stories I can think for this, okay? I got two of them, but I'm going to give you this one first. So a couple years ago, I don't know, maybe it's 4 or 5 years ago, don't matter. The Steeps, the pastors down in Ohio, they wanted a getaway over a weekend. They wanted Apostle and I to come down with them. We've been friends for years, and they wanted us to come down and just do a weekend, just a restful weekend. And they wanted to go to North Carolina. So we drove down, picked him up, drove to North Carolina, did our trip. On the way home from that trip, we stopped at a Sonny's barbecue because I'm a barbecue hound, and every time I go to the South, I have to eat Sonny's because we don't have them in Michigan. So we stop at Sonny's, okay? And it's a Sunday afternoon, and to the right, there is this table, there's this room off to the side of the Sonny's barbecue restaurant, and there must be 40 people at this table, okay? One waitress, 40 people, okay? Now, I'm not going to slam anybody, but I am going to describe it to you because it's fact, so it's true. They were all wearing skirts. Now, I'm wearing a skirt today because Esme came over to the house, and she's like, Grandma, you need to wear a skirt today. Okay, we'll wear it because Grandma wants, she want Grandma to tell Grandma what to wear. So we're going to wear it. But they're all wearing skirts like this, all the women. And they were all talking about service. You could hear them. They were all talking about their Sunday service. You knew that they had been to church, 40 of them, running this waitress ragged, okay? Our waitress, so these 40 people eventually get up and leave, and our waitress comes over to our table. Not their waitress, our waitress. She comes over to our table, and she just, like, I just can't believe those people. They're from a church here in town, and they took 2 hours, and they didn't even give her any tip at all, and she needs it. And, I mean, she is just going on and on and on and on and on, and we're just like deer in a headlight because, first, I never really had a waitress, like, spew like that, you know, but she's spewing, and she's like in our friend, and she's in the back. She's my friend, and she's in the back, and she's crying, and I just can't believe those people did that. And, oh, my gosh. And then she left. So we're just sitting at the table. Like, what do we do with that? You know? But Pastor Dan says, well, let's just bless her. Okay. So we all got out our billfolds, all four of us got out our billfolds, dumped all the cash that we had between all of us, and called our waitress back over to us, and we said, will you go get that girl for us? Go get that girl for us. So she went and got her. The girl came to our table, and we're like, look, we heard what happened. We're really sorry, and we're giving you this money. It was well over $200. We're giving you this money. Just be blessed. She starts just bawling, like you can just, like this was a Kleenex, full Kleenex box kind of tears, okay? And Pastor Dan said to her, Jesus is not cheap. Jesus is not cheap. That was his way of edifying. That event, the money is long gone. The words that were spoken of her are seeded into her. He planted favor. He released favor on her. What he did is he supplied her with grace. And he kindled that in her because if he hadn't said, we could have just gave her the money. wouldn't have kindled anything toward Christ, because she was still going to be mad at the people from church who just totally dissed her. Worked 2 hours, 40 people, nothing. Because, you know, waitresses, they get like, what, $2 to $3? That's a, my youngest is, you know, works down at Sorrelina's part-time with his other job. And he only gets so much money. He makes money on tips. So she's getting maybe a total of $5 waiting on 40 people for 2 hours. I don't even know how long her shift was. The money is long gone. The money is long gone. But the words that were planted in her were edifying, kindling, pulling her toward Christ. And it was just one phrase. She will never forget that. She will never forget it. And what that does is it erases some of the damage done by people using corrupt speech and activities, actions. Because I think we can apply this not just to our communication, but we can apply this in our actions. How badly do you want to release favor on somebody? I'm going to share one more. Actually, I'm going to share a couple more. But now that I think about it, had somebody a few weeks ago when we were talking about gifting and you were meeting with Apostle and stuff. Okay, for those of you that met with him, scheduled an appointment, met with him about your gifting. And we were talking with someone that was talking about just a coworker and how they were able to pour into that. Their coworker was having a hard time, struggling with car stuff, couldn't get to work, and if you can't get to work, you can't earn money. If you don't earn money, your situation's going to get worse. Okay? Right? You know what they did? Not necessarily speech, but action. They said, listen, I'm going to give you the money. This is the criteria. This is what's going to have to happen. So I'm not just giving you a handout. There's stuff that you need to do because, you know, a workman deserves his wage, so we've got to work this out. But Do you think that coworker is ever going to forget that? Never. And do you think that coworker is going to watch their life? The person that helped them out, they're going to be watched, and they're going to be going, "Wow, how did they do that? Why did they do that? What can I, you know, man?" It opens a door. It starts to kindle. It kindles a seed, a fire. What are you doing to release favor? That's one of those, I think it's a responsibility that God puts on each of us as his sons and daughters to release favor and benefit on the world around us so that they see that God cares about them. He has a plan for them. There are people that he's putting in their life to support them, encourage them, help them, and show them a better way. Heaven on earth. That's, you know, Matthew 6, it's becoming my favorite verse. On earth as it is in heaven. You think anybody in heaven needs encouragement? Seriously. Do you think anybody in heaven needs encouragement? Somebody. Yes? No? No. They don't need encouragement. They're surrounded by benefit. They're surrounded with it. Because God, just because we get to heaven, God doesn't stop being who he is. He has been encouraging his people to draw near to him from day one. So there's no lack of it in heaven. So there should be no lack of it here on earth. How about your sons, your daughters? How about the young people in your life? How about the people that you're mentoring? And that doesn't even have to be officially mentoring. I'm just saying the people in your life, like this girl, that again, Mandy's testimony, this girl who comes out running to her. We don't think about this. I got this thing with Elias. Elias is the middle kid. I'm a middle kid. I can relate. Okay? They'll tell you the middle kids always think that mom and dad don't love them, and they always think that they're getting ignored, and because it's either the oldest is getting attention or the youngest is getting attention, and the middle one kind of gets lost. That's kind of like the middle person's story, okay? Right or wrong, that's what the story is. So Titus is nodding his head, yes, okay. So with Elias, now Titus, you guys know Titus, he's like at a 12th grade reading level. He's just turned 9 years old, very gifted with reading. And so we're always talking about it, you know, and the teacher's praising him and all the stuff's going on. You know, it's Titus. Titus, this is not against you, okay? So, but I watch and I think, oh my gosh, we can't let Elias get lost in that favor that his oldest brother has, because Elias is mechanical. He's more mechanical than I ever dreamed of being, okay? At 18 months of age, we were painting their house, and we had all the painting done, although not as well as Paul would do it. We had all the painting done, and we had the light sockets and, you know, the covers, and he was 18 months old, and we were to the point where, and I was like, I'll go put those on. I can handle that. I think I can handle that. It's just a screwdriver and some screws. I can do this. And Elias is like, no, I'll do it. He's 18 months old. Joel took a step stool to every light cover in the house. And Elias had his own little screwdriver, and he did every light cover. At 4 years old, you guys know, he was on the roof tearing shingles off. 4 years old. Scared the tar out of me. The kid is mechanical, and with that mechanical background, he has a math ability as akin to Titus's reading. And so we'll pick him up from school, and he'll say, give me some math problems, Grandma. He'll yell it from the back. Give me math problems. And so I'll come up with some numbers, or Papa will come up with some numbers, and he'll say, oh, that's not big enough. So I'm giving him numbers like 737 and 235. What do you add those together? And he'll be screaming out the number before I can even type it out on my calculator. So I'm always talking to him, trying to edify and say, oh my gosh, do you understand how amazing you are? See, we need to remember this with the people that we have around us, that we're pouring into mentoring our children, the little ones. And I don't care if they're your kids or not. I mean, it's important. You know, when the kids come in from church, they love being here. They love it. And they're looking for you to speak into their life and say something and edify them, because we're kindling. Now, the beautiful thing is, this isn't just about the people that you're encouraging. I just want to remind you, and I know some of you have heard this before, but I want to give it to you again, because I know some of you have not heard it, okay? So this whole thing about favor and speaking, edifying and kindling and bringing benefit is not just for the other person. Because in Galatians chapter 6, it talks about reaping and sowing. And God operates by laws, okay? Even though Christ died on the cross, there are still laws in place. One of the laws, you make a contract with Satan, you walk away from God, you don't have eternal security. You don't. It's a law. You have to follow him. Okay? One of the laws that we don't talk about a lot, but you need to know and you need to remember, is the law of reaping and sowing. Reaping and sowing. It's in Galatians 6. And the law of reaping and sowing These are the things that you have to know. You reap when you sow, okay? So a farmer doesn't get to reap a crop if he doesn't put the seed in the ground, right? Pretty obvious, but you have to, if you're going to reap and sow, if you're going to get the benefit of favor returning to you because you've sowed it, you have to sow it. If you sow and you edify into other people, it's going to come back to you. You're going to get benefit back. It's a rule. God follows it. I like that rule. That rule works for me. Now, that's not why I'm edifying. I'm edifying because I want to bless the people I'm speaking into. But God says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I'm busy trying to go and pour in and kindle people, right, then he's going to reward. And it comes because of the law of reaping and sowing. So if you sow in favor and benefit to people and edify them, you're going to get that back. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? The next part of the rule, which I basically just said, you reap what you sow. Okay? You're going to get benefit. I can't tell you what that benefit is. If I speak an encouraging word to Crystal, that benefit back to me might be another encouraging word. It might be something else. I don't know. I can't tell you. God doesn't tell us. He just says you're going to benefit. Favor. So when you sow favor, you're going to get favor. You reap after you sow. So you don't get favor in your life unless you're already sowing it. It has to come after, right? So if you're somebody who goes around life just with this ugly, rotten, awful speech, negative, grumbling, critical, short, very, have you ever, somebody that barks at you? Oh, my gosh. And I can tell you, this was me. My kids will tell you, this was me. Not because I wanted to be a nasty person, but without the Holy Spirit, I'm very workaholic, work-driven, goal-driven, get it done, this is what I told you to do, and I could be very sharp. Didn't even realize I was very sharp until they got old enough in their teens, and then they started telling me, and then that wasn't good, because then I just got sharper. But then the Holy Spirit got hold of me, and then it got better, okay? So you have to know that you have to control the speech. You have to control the communication. You have to start working on you pouring in favor before you're going to start seeing benefit from that. And then the fourth of the law and reaping rule is, and this is a good one. This is probably the best one of the four laws, okay? Of the four parts of the laws of reaping and sowing. You reap more than you sow. Do you ever take a kernel of corn and plant it? And what happens? That stalk of corn comes up and it's got, unless you're a poor farmer or poor soil, but you've got more than one ear on that stalk. And on each of those ears, there's a bunch of kernels. So you have the ability with this law of reaping and sowing to reap more favor than what you poured in. Because that's how God operates. Because he wants to benefit you. That's why it says, I have plans for not for harm, but for good. Crazy, because it all comes back to how you run your mouth. or your actions? And are you choosing to do things that will put a kindle, a little fire in them, plant a seed, just like that waitress? I bet you to this day, she has that thought running in her head. Jesus is not cheap. I bet every time somebody puts a tip on her table, that's running through her head. Jesus is not cheap. Jesus is not cheap. I bet when she gets a small tip, she's thinking, where's Jesus? I bet when she gets a big tip, she's going, oh, Jesus was in the store today. See, they planted seeds. This is like this circle, like this big, huge circle. And it just keeps going. You know those graphs, the things that work, and you'll see this circle, and then they'll have these arrows going all the way around. Well, this is this circle with the arrows going all the way around because you edify, you pour in favor, you get favor. Well, that just encourages you, so you give some more favor, and then you get some more favor. And then you want to do some more. So then you find somebody else. And then you find somebody else. And then it just keeps. It's like this big circle that just doesn't stop. It's a beautiful thing. And it gets bigger.
I just wanted to share it about the importance and also the timing piece of this too. I had somebody who reached out to me, and this was a few years ago, somebody in my past that I hadn't, from high school that I hadn't talked to in a long time, that we were really good friends, and she reached out because it was our reunion coming up, and I was not going to go. I mean, I wasn't a fan of high school, and I was in it, let alone why would I want to go back, but God just really put on my heart that I needed to go, and the tickets were like $25. And for me, in my situation, that was all the money I had in my wallet. And I would have to get to the next month. And I didn't want to spend it. And I knew she didn't have the money to pay for me. And I wasn't expecting that anyways. But God just put it on my heart. Like, you have to go. You need to do this. So I reluctantly spent the money. I went. I met her there. Still not happy about going. But it gave me the opportunity to speak into her for hours. To the point that we left the reunion, we're sitting outside of the reunion for hours. She died a few months after of an OD. And it was at her funeral that my friend said, I have to send you a text. Because she had sent her a text because after that night of seeding into her, I kept trying to seed into her. And sent her a message after message. And she said, the only reason why I'm getting through this is because Andrea's been sending me texts. But I didn't know that at the time. And to this day, her family still keeps in touch with me, her kids, because her kids ended up calling me and thanking me. Thank you so much for going with our mom. It was the only time that she's gotten out of the house. Her kids will text me birthdays. It's so important with timing that you pay attention because you don't know. You have no idea what that person is facing or battling. And when God puts something in your heart and it's the action piece, the action piece is tilling the ground so that you can sow. So I just wanted to.
Great example. So last week. I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. There it is. For he who sows to the flesh will flesh reap corruption. There's that word corruption again, or corrupt or corruption. So he who sows to the flesh is going to reap rottenness. Just using the same words here, folks. But he who sows to the Spirit kindles, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Andrew's testimony. For in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. We don't give up. Edifying, encouraging, even when we're down and discouraged. We hold on to what we know to be true. If we believe it, we do it. Mandy? Yeah. But if we pour in favor and encourage and we kindle, there's an opportunity. Last week, Mike and Al passed out a document. It's all about the going. We're in our third month of go for the year, or word for the year. If you don't have that document, please see Mike or Al. They'll get you a copy. This is part of it. Write this down on that document. There's Ephesians 4:29. And I would just try it this week. Just try to be more purposeful. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. God doesn't tell us we have to get it all right when I leave the doors of the church today. He says, I want you to be working. Just keep moving toward it. You screw up on Monday, okay, we'll start again on Tuesday. We'll just work on it. I did really good Tuesday. I did really good Wednesday. Crap, Thursday I fell off the ship again. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's just go again. He wants us. He's happy with us. He's thrilled with us when he sees us diligently just working at it. It's a whole David thing. David did a lot of crazy bad things. Slept with a woman, had her husband killed, did a census, had 70,000 people killed. Bad dad. Did a lot of bad things. But every time he realized I messed up, he just stopped. And God just said, and said, look, I'm sorry, Lord, let's go again. And God said, yeah, let's keep going. And God called him, this guy, the guy that slept with the other guy's wife, had the guy killed, all of this stuff. God said, this is a man after my own heart. Because God just wants you to take a step and then take another step and then take another step. And in the meantime, if you take one step backwards or two step backwards, he's just going, let's go. We can do this. Time to move. Make the first step. I'll bless every step from there. Very true. Very true. And that's where we're going to close today. I'm going to have the worship team come. Have them close us out this morning. Listen, I just want you to think about where you're at. Maybe you know that your speech isn't what it should be. Or maybe your actions aren't what they should be. Maybe you know, like the Lord's just been tugging at you, and you just know, I need to work on this some. Whether you do it in your pew or whether up at the altar is always open. Talk to him today about it. Just make a commitment to him that, hey, I'm going to work on this, because this whole thing about favor, I really like this. And I know it's what you have for us. And I want to be a part of it. I want to pour out benefit on somebody. Several somebodies. And maybe you're already doing it, so maybe you just need to do it more. Maybe there's people that you're missing that you could speak to. And remember, it doesn't all have to be God, 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 God. Sometimes it can just be you're given a helping hand, but we're kindling and moving them, helping them take a step towards holiness, and they don't even know it. But God knows it. And he's going to bless your effort, and he's going to pour out on you. He will not go against his own law of reaping and sowing. He cannot. God is not a liar. He cannot do anything less than pour back into you when you are pouring into others. He has to. It's what his word says, and he cannot go against it. So I just want you to think about that. I want you to spend time with him. I want you to give yourself a challenge over this next week. as part of our going, add this. What can I do? What can I do? What is my version of Jesus is not cheap? What's my version look like? Amen? Joel?